Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going advanced with a stretching jungle bass line using an automation-first workflow in Ableton Live 12. The main idea here is simple, but really powerful. Stop thinking of bass as a loop that just repeats, and start treating it like a living part of the arrangement. In jungle and drum and bass, the bass line has to do more than just sit under the drums. It needs to breathe with them. It should tighten up around the snare, open out during fills, shift energy over 8 and 16 bar phrases, and stay heavy without clogging the groove. That's what we're building today. First thing, lock in the drums. Before you even worry about the bass sound, get a solid breakbeat or drum pattern down. This matters because the bass needs something to stretch against. If the groove isn't clear, the automation won't feel intentional, it'll just feel random. Drop your break onto an audio track in Live 12 and use warp mode set to beats for punchy control. Keep the snare strong, make sure the ghost notes are doing their job, and don't over-edit the life out of the break. A little variation is good. Then send the drums through a clean bus chain. A little drum bus for glue and edge. A touch of glue compressor for cohesion. And only use EQ if you actually need to clean up the low end. You want the drum groove to feel solid, because the bass line is going to move in relation to that groove. Now let's build the bass architecture. We're going to split this into two layers, a clean mono sub and a movement heavy mid bass layer. This is the key to keeping the low end powerful while still giving yourself room to automate aggressively. For the sub, use something clean like operator or wave eatable with a sine style source. Keep it mono, keep it controlled, and make sure the note lengths are short enough that the bass doesn't smear into a muddy wash. The sub should feel like a disciplined anchor. For the mid-bass, go for a detuned saw-based sound in wave-eatable, or something FM-driven in operator if you want a darker, sharper character. This is where the movement lives. Add some saturation, maybe the bit of roar if you want more evolving aggression, and high-pass this layer so it doesn't fight the sub. Depending on how dense your arrangement is, somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz is a good starting point. If you're going darker or more neuro-influenced, you can push that higher. Group those layers into a bass group straight away. That gives you a clean way to automate the whole bass sound without losing control of the sub. Now write a short motif. Don't try to write a full bass line for the whole track yet. Start with a one or two bar phrase that can survive being stretched and edited. Think call and response against the snare. In jungle and rollers, leaving space is often what makes the bass feel bigger. A good starting point might be a root note on the downbeat, a held note that carries through some of the bar, then a response hit after the snare, and one gap where the break can speak. Keep it simple at first. Use short notes for bounce, longer notes for tension, and don't fill every 16th unless you're specifically going for a more manic, neuro-style pattern. Here's the first advanced move. Start using clip envelopes inside the MIDI clip. This is where the automation-first mindset really starts to pay off. Instead of just drawing notes and leaving the sound static, begin shaping filter cutoff, envelope amount, and note lengths so the bass phrase expands and contracts inside the clip itself. For the mid-bass layer, automate the filter so it opens gradually through the phrase. A subtle movement is usually enough. You're not trying to do a giant EDM sweep here. You're trying to make the bass feel like it leans forward into the phrase ending, then resets. Small resonance changes can help too, but keep them controlled. Too much resonance and the low mid start getting pokey. Now take it a step further and build macros. Put the bass devices into an instrument rack, or use an audio effect rack if you're working with audio later. Map controls like filter cutoff, saturation drive, width, amp envelope decay, and distortion mix to macros. This gives you one place to automate the character of the bass, which is way cleaner than juggling five separate devices all over the arrangement. A really useful trick is to create bass states. Think dry and tight, open and brighter, dirtier and more aggressive, and stripped back and minimal. Then automate between those states. This is often more musical than endlessly adjusting a single patch. In other words, don't think of the bass as one sound. Think of it as several versions of the same sound, moving between phrase states. Now let's shape the arrangement. In arrangement view, automate the macros over 8-bar blocks. Keep the first few bars restrained. Then open things up a little in the second half of the phrase. Add a touch more drive or resonance toward the end, and then pull it back again at the next phrase boundary. That push and pull is what makes the bass line feel like it's stretching with the track instead of just looping on top of it. And don't forget rhythm. Stretching bass is not only about tone, it's about articulation. Shorten notes just before the snare to leave room. Let notes ring a bit longer after the snare for the answer phrase. Even tiny timing changes can make the groove feel way more human and way more edited. In drum and bass, that snare pocket is sacred. Protect it. Another great move is to automate tiny volume rides on the bass group. Even a half dB to 1, and a half dB lift at the end of a phrase can make the bass feel like it's leaning into the next section. That's a subtle trick, but it's very effective before fills or turnaround bars. Once the synth version is feeling good, resample it to Audido. This is where the workflow gets really powerful. Audido gives you surgical control over the performance. You can slice phrases, trim tails, reverse little moments, or nudge a note just before the snare to create more impact. Record an 8 or 16 bar pass of the bass group onto a new audio track. Then listen back and look for moments you can edit. Maybe one tail is too long. Trim it. Maybe one phrase needs a little reversal or a tiny gap before the snare. Do that. In jungle and DNB, audio editing is often what makes the bass feel like another rhythmic instrument instead of just a synth line. If you want to go even further, you can take one of those audio phrases and load it into Sampler. Slice mode is great for chopped fill moments, and classic mode can be useful if you want to repitch a hit or create a new variation from the resampled material. Now think in full phrases, not just loops. A good DNB arrangement usually has clear section logic. The bass should change meaningfully every 4, 8, or 16 bars. Maybe the first 8 bars are restrained. Then the next 8 open up a little. Then you add a switch up with more drive or a brief halftime feel gap. Then you pull it back again for tension. The important thing is that the movement should feel intentional. If the bass changes randomly, it loses impact. But if it evolves in response to the phrase structure, the whole drop feels like it's breathing. Also, pay attention to the relationship between the bass and the kick or main drum boss. Use sidechain compression if needed, but keep it subtle. We're looking for separation, not obvious pumping. A little gain reduction can help the kick read cleanly without flattening the bass. And always check your low end in mono. The sub should stay centered and stable. A width should live in the upper harmonics, not the fundamental. If the bass feels too wide too soon, narrow it. If the low mids are clashing with the snare, don't just over-EQ everything. Sometimes the better move is to adjust the note timing slightly, so the snare transient can land cleanly. Small rhythmic shifts often solve problems better than aggressive processing. For extra energy, you can add controlled grit with saturator, roar, or even a bit of redux, but use that tastefully. Distort the mid-bass, not the sub. You can even automate the drive so it increases slightly in the last bar of a phrase or in a transition section. That gives you a sense of forward motion without wrecking clarity. A nice advanced trick is to use return tracks for motion effects. Instead of baking delay or reverb into the bass sound itself, put a subtle send on a return track and high pass the return hard. Then automate that send in and out for certain phrases. That way the core bass stays focused, and the motion effect only appears where it matters. You can also automate device on and off states. Seriously, that's one of the most convincing changes in an advanced DNB mix. A distortion block dropping out for a bar, then coming back in, can feel way more alive than a slow knob turn. Same goes for chorus, filtering, or any effect that changes the shape of the bass. If you want a really strong jungle vibe, try building a 3-bar or 5-bar bass cycle against a 4-bar drum loop. That kind of phrase length mismatch can create a rolling, slightly off-balance tension that feels very genre-appropriate when done carefully. It keeps the listener leaning forward. And here's a very practical coaching note. Check the bass at low monitor levels. If the groove still reads when the volume is turned down, that's a great sign that your phrasing and automation are doing real work. If it disappears, you may be relying too much on brightness or stereo spread and not enough on actual rhythmic shape. Let's wrap with the workflow in one simple mindset. Build the drum groove first. Bullet sub and mid bass. Use macros and clip envelopes to automate the character. Think in bass states. Resample to audio when the phrase starts feeling like performance material. Edit the audio like another rhythmic layer. Keep the low end mono, protect the snare pocket, and let the bass evolve across phrases instead of looping flat. A great jungle bass line doesn't just sit under the break. It stretches around it. It leans, it breathes, it tightens, and it opens up exactly where the drums need it to. That's the vibe. That's the energy. And once you start working this way, your bass lines will feel way more intentional, way more dangerous, and way more alive.